This week, September 23rd, 2014, on The Digital Story. Hands-on with the Canon EOS 7D Mark II. The WD My Passport Wireless Storage, enabling true nimbleosity for iPad-toting photographers. New editing tools and iOS 8 Photos app that are the real deal. All of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. So pleased to be here with you. I have lots of great stuff to talk about today. We'll start out with the weekly update, and then I'm going to talk about something that I have wanted to talk about since I heard its announcement, and that's a wireless storage drive by Western Digital, the My Passport Wireless, that works with iPads, iPhones, and Android devices, and it works both ways, both streaming content, and you can write to it from your mobile device. It is really good stuff, and I'm going to tell you all about it in the second story. Talk about iOS 8 a little bit and lots of other goodies. So let's get going. Let's start out with the weekly update. Twice as good? Question mark. Hands-on with the Canon EOS 7D Mark II. After you read this piece, you'll probably answer yes. Little goodies such as the mic and headphones jack, the dual SD/CF card slots, a new sensor, a new AF system, and clever advances such as anti-flicker mode really add up to a big upgrade for this device. And it should be. It's been 5 years since the original Canon 7D was released. And the 7D Mark II really is an entirely new camera. So what DP Review has done is that they've basically taken 10 features that they think are noteworthy in this camera. And they do a little slideshow for you. They show you a picture and they talk a little bit about the various features. Now, it only takes a minute or two to go through these different slides. But I'll tell you, just after that, you have a really good feel for this camera. And, you know, is this something that you should be interested in? If you're a DSLR shooter with Canon lenses, it has a weather sealing up the yazoo, right? It's you can take this thing out in inclement weather and take pictures. It's fast. It has this crazy autofocus system where all of the autofocus points, I think all 65 of them, are cross sensors. It has, I think, an improved version of the sensor that we saw in the 70D, which I love that camera. I mean, this is just really a crazy camera. All lenses that Canon has made are compatible on it. It's an APS-C sensor. It's good stuff. So if you have been waiting for the 7D Mark II, I'm sure you're not disappointed by what Canon announced right before Photokina. And if you are a DSLR shooter wondering, well, what would be a good camera for event photography, for sports photography, for all of those kinds of things where you're out and about, this would be one to take a look at. And DP Review does a great job of giving you a quick overview of all the new features in this excellent DSLR. In other news, the Olympus EM1 update lands ahead of schedule. That's right, it's out there right now. And this is a firmware update for the camera that has a variety of new features. And then it does some improvements on the camera performance itself. And there's quite a list of stuff that it does. So what ImagingResource.com did was they listed out the, you know, all the benefits, all the new features, all the improvements, all that stuff in their article. And then they gave you links to download the firmware. And of course, you can use the Olympus app on your Windows or Mac computer connect your camera to it, and then also do the software update that way, the firmware update that way. But either way, of all the reporting on this firmware update, I thought Imaging Resource did a very nice job. And that link is also in the show notes. And finally, Skip the Lab, how to mount and frame prints yourself. This is compliments of fstoppers.com. And it's a terrific 15-minute movie, plus text, explaining how to mount your own prints and have them look like they were done by a professional. Now, it's funny, we're good at taking the pictures, and then some folks are pretty good at printing out the pictures, but then when it comes to mounting and framing, a lot of photographers just shake their heads and go, I don't know how to do this. And therefore, it often doesn't get done, because if you have a shop do it for you, it's pretty expensive. So this video and this text is by someone who over the years has perfected his system, and he's kind enough to share it now. Now, the only change that I would make from the article, he uses another brand of paper, and I would just substitute Red River paper wherever you see the mention of the type of photographic paper he uses for his output. And my tongue is only slightly in my cheek on that one. But anyways, a terrific piece. And that is this week's Weekly Update. Story number two, the WD My Passport Wireless Storage Device. Okay, I have been chomping at the bit to talk about this little guy. So I have it in my hand right now. And it is, let me pull out a ruler here. This actually, let's be accurate here. Let's talk in terms of real dimensions and so forth. So it's not very heavy. Now, it is a spinning hard drive device, not a flash drive device. That allows you to get 1 terabyte of storage. And they also have a 2 terabyte model. But 1 terabyte of storage, plus the built-in access point, plus the SD card reader, plus the software that connects to Android, iOS devices, Mac, and Windows machine. It allows you to give all of that for $179. So whereas the flash drive itself, a 1 terabyte flash drive, how much is that going to cost you? More than $179, that's for sure. Forget the other goodies. So as I'm holding it, it is 3 1/4 inches wide by 5 inches tall, and it feels like, yep, about 3/4 of an inch thick. So it's not very big. In fact, it fits in all those kind of hard drive pockets that you have in your backpack or in your camera bag, those places. It just fits everywhere. Now, it has a power button on top, and you turn it on, and it just boots up, and right away it starts broadcasting, because this is the way that you connect to it most of the time, is wirelessly. And it's so easy to do with your Windows or Mac computer or with any of your devices that you don't have to use a cord. However, if you decided that you wanted to use a cord, let's say that you want to fill it up with a bunch of content because you're going on a trip and you want to have that content accessible to you on your iPad, then it has a USB 3.0 connector, and it comes with the cable. It comes with the cable also. So when you do connect it to your computer via the cable, it's fast. It's USB 3. That's really nice. So you sort of have the best of both worlds. Now, on the side of the device, you have a slot for SD card reading. And this is, I mean, we have been talking about the need for this forever. What a lot of us want to do, myself included in this, is that I want to take my iPad mini in my case, my camera, and a storage device that's portable, and that's it. Then I want to get on a plane, I want to go somewhere, I want to shoot a bunch of pictures, I want to process them, I want to publish them, I want to do everything I want, but I don't want to carry, you know, a laptop. And in my case, if I bring my 15-inch MacBook Pro, beautiful laptop, but it only has 256 gigabytes of storage internally, so I have to bring a hard drive anyway. And it just changes the whole dynamic of the travel. Plus, with the laptop, you know, you have laptop temptations, and especially if you're trying to go on a vacation, those laptop temptations can also get the best of you. So at any rate, so I'm holding this device right now. It's powered up. It has an internal battery that's rechargeable. And you recharge it with the USB 3 cord, and it comes with a little charger adapter, just like what we're used to for charging any type of mobile device. And the battery goes a good 5 or 6 hours. I just leave it on. I really don't think about it. I really don't worry that much about powering it down and powering it up. If I'm going to be using it over the course of a couple hours, I just leave it on. And it seems to go into a nice little standby mode. But yet it's ready to go when I need it. And the battery lasts long enough to where I don't really feel like I have to power it down. Now, when I'm ready to use it, all I do is open up my device, my iPad or my iPhone. And by the way, I tested the drive with both iOS 7 and iOS 8 on both devices, and it works with both. So you just power up your device, and then you go to settings, and you go to Wi-Fi, and you connect to the drive, just like it was a, you know, Wi-Fi access point. Now, the first time you do this, you have to do password and all that, because you do want some protection. Then after that, your device will just remember, you know, that, hey, yeah, we've already entered the password. We don't need to do that again. So you're connected that way. Now, on both of my devices, since I have Wi-Fi plus cellular, then I still have cellular connectivity while I'm using the drive. So that's sort of nice. If you only have Wi-Fi only, then the communication with the drive will be your only communication until you change your Wi-Fi network to something that gives you connection to the internet. And you can have like up to 8 devices connected to this baby at once. So that's pretty nice. So let's say that you had music or movies or something on here. It has a streamer. It has a standard streaming software on there. So, you know, many people can access it at once. They can refer to files. They can do all sorts of stuff. It's fairly robust, but I mean, obviously, if you're doing movies, you probably only want one device tapping it for a movie at a time. But in terms of photos and files and so forth, multiple devices don't seem to be a problem at all. Now, the way that it communicates with your device is that there are apps for both iOS and Android. The apps are free. For instance, in my case, I downloaded the app from the App Store, and it's a WD Cloud app. Let me actually get you the name here. I'll pull it right up on my thing here. It's MyCloud is what it is. MyCloud is the app, and you just download it. So once you've made the connection with your Wi-Fi, then you just open the app, and it sees the drive. Boom. It just, I mean, it works so well. I mean, this is a fairly refined communication that they've established here. And basically, the way that I look at it, when I look at all files, which is the view that I normally start with on my iPad or my iPhone, it shows me everything. It's just like looking at a hard drive. You have all the different directories that you've set up. I have a photos folder. I have a music folder. I have a backup folder. I have all that kind of stuff on there. And so then you just see it and you just tap on what you want. It opens the folder and you see the contents of the folder. Super intuitive, super. It is so easy to use. It works like you would think it would work. And then, for instance, if you want to look at some photos, they're all there. You can look at them full screen. You can look at them, you know, however you normally would. It's pretty simple. Now, here's the thing, though. We've had devices that could stream content to our mobile devices before. That isn't earth-shattering. What I haven't had prior to this is the ability to back up my photos in the field. And this is brand new. And there's two ways you can do it. Now, first, you can do it through the MyCloud app. So let's say that you shot a bunch of images with your iPhone and you want to back them up onto this device, the My Passport. You can actually do that. You can back them up on there. You basically, you know, there's, it says it, you know, comes with a nice instructional guide, but you basically say that you want to load the photos, you select them, it loads them onto the hard drive. And then once they're on the hard drive, you can move them to whatever folder you want. And that part is a little odd. It took me a minute to figure it out. The way that you do it is, you know, you select the photos that were just uploaded. And then you choose, you have these options, you know, cut, copy, so forth. Which, at first you go, cut, really? But that's what you do. You choose the photos, you cut them. And then it asks you, you know, what folder do you want to paste them into? So basically, it's cut and paste. That's the metaphor that you use to move your photos around. But it works really well. So, you know, not only can you back stuff up onto this drive, you can actually organize it once it's there. That is a big deal. Now, something that is just super fun is that the SD card slot that's on the side of it can work a couple different ways. And you can set this up in the preferences for the drive that you control with either the iOS apps or the computer software. And you can set up to go a couple different ways. One way you can set it up is that if you're working in the field and you just want a fast backup, you can set it up so that when you put your SD card in there, it just backs it up automatically. It just goes to it. You don't even have to have your mobile device on or anything. You're just walking around, the card fills up, you put it in this, it copies the contents of the card into a directory. And it does a nice organization too of how it does it. So if you have three or four cards, the contents in three or four different folders, which I think is pretty cool. And then later on that night, if you wanted, then you can tap the drive with your device and look at the pictures that you automatically uploaded. Works great. And then you have the option, if you want, to automatically erase the card after it copies the photos onto it or not. Again, as I always say, I recommend not. Don't do that. Do the formatting of the card in your camera. It's just a safer way to go. So that's one way to go. Now, the way I prefer, if given the option, is that you can control the card copying with your device. So in other words, you set it up so that you put the card in and you open up your iOS device, open MyCloud, and then you initiate the copying of the card onto the device. And then you can check to make sure that everything went the way that it should. And then after you do that, then you can take the card out. And if you're going to erase it, then you will know at least that you have the content safe on the drive itself. So that's the way that I prefer to do, but it's nice to have the option to do it either way. It copies both JPEGs and RAW files off the card. Now, when you get home, basically, in my case, I plug the drive using the USB 3.0 into my Mac, open Aperture, and then just import each of the shoots into Aperture. In that case, I would just import the RAW files. I'd leave the JPEGs behind. I can organize it and do my normal workflow. Once everything is safe and sound in Aperture or whatever you're using, Lightroom, then if you want, you can erase those files from your hard drive, free up space, and be ready to go again. It is really nice. I put other files on there. One of the tests that I did was I put my client folder on there, you know, the clients that I'm working with right now. I keep them all in a folder. And so that has all the jobs that I'm currently working on, PDFs of the agreements, you know, all that kind of stuff, paperwork, just in case you have to refer to something. I put that all on the drive in a client folder on the drive. And then I can read the PDFs and the doc files and all that stuff on my iPad. So while I'm traveling, I don't even need the computer for doing work if I put work on there. Because the iPad does such a great job of reading all these different types of files And the My Passport does a great job of storing them and organizing them for me. I can have everything on there that I need. So this thing is a little blessing. I carry it with me all the time. It's $179 for the 1 terabyte, and I believe $249 for the 2 terabyte models. I have a link to them in the show notes of this podcast. Use that link if you would, because that's an affiliate link and we get credit for that. It'll take you over to B&H Photo and you can order the drive. Right now it says that it's pre-release, but they're going to have them real soon because, I mean, the drives are out there. I got mine and then now it says pre-release. So I'm sure soon enough they'll be in stock again. And I tell you, if you want to just travel with your iPad or your Android tablet and be a photographer, this drive is definitely worth looking at. And I think, you know, the price point on it is terrific. So that is the WD My Passport Wireless Storage Drive for $179. It is definitely a thumbs up and a high Nimbelocity rating. Story number 3, new editing tools in the iOS 8 Photos app. They did a heck of a good job, and by they I mean Apple, with this update to Photos. And I wrote about this in Nimble Photographer on Monday. So I'm not updating to the iPhone 6/6 Plus. It's not because I don't like them. It's just my iPhone 5S is only a year old and I'm perfectly happy with it. So I'm just going to sit tight and see what happens over the next year with iPhone hardware. Because the update for iOS 8 is so good, not just with the Photos app and the new camera software in it, but across the board it's so good, that it really helps soften the blow. I don't really feel like I need to update to the iPhone 6 or 6 Plus, because by loading iOS 8 on my device, I have so many new things to play with. I'm all right now. And one of those new things, of course, is the Photos app. Now, the part that I really want to talk about are the image editing tools, because we went from having virtually no tools in Photos now to a very nice set. So when you open a photo in the app and you look at it and you hit the edit button, then this little panel pops up on the iPhone. And you have light, color, and black and white. Those are like the three basic categories. You tap on light, and you first of all, you have like this little scale of thumbnails, and you can just drag your finger, and the application will adjust the brightness of the image. And not just in a pure bright way, it's fairly intelligent. I mean, there's a little magic in this mixture here. And that approach alone works pretty good. But where the photographer in us will get more excited is that there's a little menu icon right above those thumbnails on the right side. And you tap on that, and now we get some real goodies. We get an exposure adjustment, a highlights adjustment, shadows, brightness, contrast, and black point. So now we can work with these individual things. What highlights does is help you recover some of the information that is blown out in the brightest part of the image. Then below that, you have shadows. So you can open up the shadow areas, get a little detail. You know, if some of your blacks got plugged up a bit, you can adjust that with shadows. Brightness, that's going to be more your mid-tone. That's more of a mid-tone adjustment. If you're used to using levels, that would be the middle adjustment on that. Contrast, of course, it affects both ends at the same time. So it adjusts highlights and black. If you lower the contrast, brings in both the highlights and shadows. And if you increase the contrast, it pushes it out. And then finally, the black point, of course, is the black point itself. So, I mean, you have all of those tools right now in this little Photos app on your iPhone. And then you also have color tools too. So go ahead and you hit the edit button again, and then you do color. And now, of course, you have the sliding scale as before, but you have saturation, contrast, and cast. And then if that wasn't good enough, you have black and white. In the black and white is intensity, neutrals, tone, and grain. So there are a lot of tools in here that I think work very well. Now, I wrote an article for the Digital Story called New Editing Tools in iOS 8 Photos App. And if the link to that article is in the show notes. And what I did in the article is I went through all three different areas here and took every tool and then explained what it did. That, I think, would be a nice little reference for you. And if you forget, well, you know, what does, for example, what does brightness do in the light panel? Then you can just look it up and it'll be right there. I'm very impressed with it. The cropping tool is very nice. It gives you the usual constraining configurations that you have. It's easy to use. And just overall, you know, they've done just a terrific job with the Photos app. The one area that I was a little disappointed in with the Photos app was the filters. It's basically the same filters that we had before. However, there is good news on this front because the filters aspect of the app is open. In other words, developers can write for this app. You can purchase, or if they're giving them away free, additional filters that will integrate with the Photos app. And we should start seeing those appear here, I would guess, in the next month or two. So even though there aren't a lot of filters in there right now, I think there are going to be lots of filters available to us through this open API that they're providing, that Apple has basically opened the door to this. So that's great because I'm just really not that impressed with the filters that are in here right now. But that's basically really the only disappointment that I had. All you have to do to get the Photos app is upgrade to iOS 8. I've used it both on my iPhone, my 5S, and my iPad mini with Retina display. It works terrific on both. It's a very welcome addition. Yes, we have all sorts of image editing software already. A lot of it I like. I love Snapseed. I like Photogene. The Lightroom app is very nice for mobile devices. So there's a lot of good stuff, which is great for, especially for special photos. But if you're just working really quickly and you want an app that's integrated with your iCloud and everything else, now you can just open it up in Photos, do some quick adjustments, send it along its way and be done with it, and use the other apps for the stuff that's a bit more sophisticated. I definitely give it a thumbs up. And like I said, I'm sticking with my iPhone 5S. Thanks to iOS 8, I'm really not losing any sleep over it. Story number four, from the screening room. We're going to invite Chris Orwig over to the screening room today because he has a new title called Finding the Perfect Portrait Lens. And it is terrific. Now, if you've watched Chris before, many of you may have watched him because his Lightroom and his Photoshop trainings are pretty popular on Lynda. But as a photographer, what Chris enjoys doing is taking portraits. I mean, I have to say, at the end of the day, that is his thing, portrait photography. So I know this title is near and dear to his heart, and he does a great job with it. It's really not just finding the perfect portrait lens. It's really understanding different lenses for portraiture, not only in terms of selecting the right lens for the type of portrait that you want to take, but then how to use that lens to get the most out of it and to achieve the final effect that you're looking for. He covers all of that in this title, and he does a great job with it. It's a lot of fun. And I'll tell you, for me, you know, lenses are really the fun part of photography. I think Chris shares that view, and he really does a terrific job with this title, Finding the Perfect Portrait Lens with Chris Orwig. And you can watch Chris in action by visiting the TDS screening room at lynda.com/thedigitalstory. That's LYNDA. And while you're there, you can start your 7-day free trial to watch all the other design, photography, and computing titles, plus every other topic in the library. But this week's pick is Chris Orwig, Finding the Perfect Portrait Lens. Watch the movie that we put there on the screening room link. And I think you'll see what I mean, that, you know, this guy is into this topic and he knows what he's talking about. All right, let's do a little virtual camera club news. Red River Paper, their paper card shop, is open for business. I've been talking about it for the last couple of weeks because I think the card shop is one of the most useful areas of the site. And I think printing fine art cards is one of the best uses for your inkjet printer. They have all sorts of varieties of surfaces there in the card shop. They have tutorials on how to do it. And as we get to this time of year, the holiday time of year, I think fine art cards become a great gift, a personal gift, a gift that doesn't cost you a lot, but that means a lot to the person that receives it. You can get the envelopes, the cards, the ink, everything right here at Red River Paper. They have a tile on all the pages of the digital story, and they have a wonderful Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. Our photo assignment is shot from behind for September. There's still a few days left. We have some fun photos come in. Join in on this. Get your photo in there, shot from behind. You interpret the theme as you wish. One of those folks is going to win a Sizzle Picks as part of the Sizzle Picks pick of the month. And the way that works is that if you have the Sizzle Picks pick of the month, if your image is it, then you can get a free Sizzle Picks of that image. You know, we'll make the announcement, you follow up, contact me, and I hook you up. And the next thing you know, not only will you have that image on your computer, you will have a Sizzle Picks of it. Isn't that a beautiful thing? I have 4 new Sizzle Picks. I got 4 new ones. And I wanted to spruce the place up a bit. We got a workshop here in October. I wanted to have some new art on the wall. Oh, they are so beautiful. I swear that the process is getting better. I don't think it's just my imagination. I have Sizzle Picks now from the beginning all the way to the modern times, so to speak. But the metal, the finish, the vibrancy, everything is better than I've ever seen, at least on this latest batch of prints. And I don't think it's my photography. And we're already talking about something that was top of class, best in its category. No one is as good as Sizzle Picks. And now Sizzle Picks, not resting on their laurels, seem to be getting even better. And that includes the mounting on the back and the whole kit and caboodle. Anyway, what a joy. And you too can share that joy by going to sizzlepix.com, sizzlepix.com, or clicking on the tile that's on every page of the digital story and order your own Sizzle Picks. I think that's going to do it. We had a full docket for the day and we got through it. I have to tell you though, of all the things that I talked about, I'm really excited about this WD My Passport wireless storage drive. I'll be also doing a write-up on it on the digital story. So stay tuned for that. Links to everything I talked about are in the show notes. Make sure you go over there and use those links. And I think I'm going to, you know what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to go over to a different microphone and I'm going to join Frederick Van Johnson for This Week in Photo. So, and that will go up on Friday, I believe. So podcast on Tuesday, This Week in Photo on Friday. If you're not sick of me by then, come back next week and I promise you I'll have more great stories. Until then, bye-bye now. Have a great week.